We want to welcome you to Refreshed with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refreshed is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Monday to you, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs. We're coming to you from the studios of WMIE 91.5 FM right here in Cocoa, Florida. You're listening to the Refresh radio broadcast brought to you by our friends, partners, and the saints at Merit Assembly of God. And I trust that you have had a great weekend and got to gather together as believers in worship in the house of God, lift up the name of Jesus. And I know that whenever we do that, he said that if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And, you know, on Friday, I was talking about this region that was known as Jekabziel. That name literally means God gathers. And I went home, talked to my wife after that broadcast, and I just kept revisiting that over and over and over again. And so today I'm going to talk to you about some of the things my wife and I had discussed. Do want to let you know that our Women of Worth meeting, for any of the ladies from Merit Assembly of God who are listening, that meeting will be taking place tonight at 6:30. It will not be taking place at the fellowship hall. So if you do not know how to get to that party, you need to call the church and get directions. But the ladies have a great time with that. We will be having our vintage service Wednesday at 11 a.m. and looking forward to that. Thanks also to everybody who came out and was part of the community Christmas choir and orchestra. And it's always great when churches are able to get together in the spirit of unity and lift up the name of Jesus. Psalm 133 says how good and pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. And it goes on at the end of the chapter and it talks about, for there I command the blessing. And I don't know anyone who doesn't like to be blessed. But when there is unity in the house, when there's unity in the body of Christ, God says that there's a new degree of blessing there. There it is a commanded blessing. It is blessing that is decreed by the throne of heaven to take place. And so husbands and wives need to dwell together in the spirit of unity. Churches need to dwell together in the spirit of unity. Parents and their children, workplaces need to be in the spirit of unity. For a house divided against itself cannot stand. But where there is unity, and I'm not talking uniformity, I'm talking about unity of purpose, unity of lifting up the name of Jesus Christ, God says, I am going to command my blessing there. And so if you have unity in your life, I want you to just accept by faith that God is commanding blessing that is going to come down to you. And it talks about it starts at the head and it goes all the way down to the feet. It is a blessing that is going to touch an entity from the top to the bottom, from one extremity to the other. And so today I just encourage you to expect a commanded blessing. Last week we were talking about Jekabziel, and thank God that he is a God who gathers. That he was not content with leaving us on our own, but instead he came to gather us to himself. And so as I was thinking about that, I was thinking about the fact that Jesus had come to preach to people, and as he was doing that, he needed a boat, and he had the owners of the boat launch out into the deep. And so when that happened, he told Peter and Andrew afterwards, he said, you need to go ahead and launch your boat out into shore or out away from the shore. And when you do that, you are going to have a great catch. And they said, but God, we have labored all night long. We have exhausted ourselves. We have done everything that we know how to do as professional fishermen, and we have come up empty. And I want you to know that when you and I have done our best, when we have operated with the wisdom that we have, with the strength that we have, we've not been negligent. We've put our hand to the plow. We've done the task to the best we can. Sometimes we're still going to come up empty. But when we offer our resources to God, and he asks to use them, whether it's the boat that belonged to Peter, or whether it was the donkey that he rode into Jerusalem, whether it was the borrowing of a room, whatever it might have been, then whenever we offer our resources to God for him to use according to his purpose, then there is a blessing that comes as a result of that. And so what happened was when Peter was instructed to launch his boat out from the shore, there was a great catch of fish. He caught so many fish that he had to call his buddies over in order for them to come and help him to get the catch into the shore. And it was a supernatural. It was an eye-opening experience to them, because those fishermen recognized that what they had just participated in was not a natural gathering, but it was a supernatural harvest that had just been brought their way. Do you realize that the food supply that we currently have in the world today, that it is exponentially larger than it was just 100 or 150 years ago, because there have been so many technological breakthroughs that enable us to sow more seed that causes more harvest to be brought in so that more people can be fed. And so you and I today, I just want to encourage you today, God has the ability to cause our churches to be places like Jekebziel, a place of supernatural gathering. He has your home to be a place of supernatural gathering. In fact, another aspect of this is Jesus said that wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And to me, that is a supernatural gathering. God gathering the body of Christ together, gathering his children unto himself. And so I just want to encourage you today. Meet with the King of Kings. Meet with the Lord of Lords and allow him to be Lord of the harvest. He is going to bring about a supernatural harvest. So that was just something my wife and I were discussing after the broadcast that for Friday, and I just thought I would share it with you, that God is in the gathering business. He wants to bring about a supernatural harvest. So today we're going to be in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. We're going to talk about somebody, and it's kind of a related topic, but it goes to what happens after the gathering takes place. In 1 Chronicles chapter 4, and it says in verse number 18, it says, his wife Jehudijah bore Jared the father of Gedor, Heber the father of Socho, and Jekuthiel the father of Zanoah. And these were the sons of Bithiah, the daughter of Pharaoh, whom Merod took. And just one more thing to thank God for, that first of all, you were not having to try to pronounce those names. Second of all, that the mercy of God exists to me because of the names I just butchered. And third, that our parents did not name us those names. They named us things easy to pronounce, like Bob. And so, but Jekuthiel is one of these that is mentioned here in verse number 19. And Jekuthiel means God will nourish. God will nourish. And I just want you to know that God is sufficient to meet our physical needs. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, the food, the clothing, and the shelter, all of those things that we have need of, they will be provided. Elijah experienced this when it was commanded, because Israel was in a time of rebellion against God. Ahab was the king, and there's no name by the name of Elijah. We think of Elijah because of the Bible stories that we've heard, but no one knew who Elijah was until the day he walked up to the king, and he said, until I say so, it is not going to rain in this land. And you know, I always love the wisdom of the world, because whenever something like that is pronounced, Ahab's strategy from that point forward was to send out to every nation around, because he was searching for Elijah, because nobody believes the prophet, you know, when the pronouncement just comes out. It's not until it hasn't rained for a week, or it hasn't rained for a month. Well, now it hasn't rained for 6 months. And now it hasn't rained for a year. And in an agrarian society, an agricultural society, without rain, there is no harvest. And without harvest, there is no food. People starve. And it begins to have a serious economic toll that is taken upon the people of that land. In fact, if it was not for Joseph, if it was not for God ordering the steps of Joseph and getting him to Egypt, the whole world would have starved. God positioned Joseph in Egypt so that not only the people of Israel wouldn't starve, but Egypt had plenty of food to feed their people, and they also sold grain to the rest of their neighbors. Whoever came, they were able to buy it, and it made Egypt a powerhouse. But God was the one who positioned Joseph there so that people would not starve. Somebody said this, and it is this: in the kingdom of Satan, in the kingdom of darkness, there is always famine. There is always famine. Whenever we have rebellion in our life, sooner or later, we're going to come to a time of famine. But in the kingdom of heaven, in the kingdom of God, there is always food. And Elijah experienced this, because when there was no rain and there was no food, God commanded the ravens, and they brought him food by the brook. And then the brook dried up, and he sends Elijah to the widow of Zarephath. And when he gets there, by the way, that was in she was living in the region where Jezebel's father had been king, and so. I find that just a kind of interesting little tidbit there, that, you know, God, when we need a safe place, he will provide that safe place for us. And so when Elijah showed up there, when Elijah requested for her to make him a cake, he said, if you'll make me a cake, I would greatly appreciate it. And she said, but sir, I just have enough here right now. That I'm going to feed myself, I'm going to feed my son, and after that, we're going to die. We don't have any more food supply. And Elijah said, if you'll make my cake first, you will never go hungry. I want you to know that God is a God who nourishes us. That's what Jekuthiel means. It means God will nourish. God gathers, but he also feeds. Do you realize that even the tree that wasn't producing fruit in the parable that Jesus told, he said, it has not produced fruit for 3 years. He said, dig it up, pluck it up from the ground. And the caregiver to that tree said, wait, let me dig around it and let me fertilize it one more year and it will produce fruit. And what that concept of fertilization is providing the nutrients and the nourishment that tree needed. He said, I don't care how long it has been unfruitful. If you will allow me to make sure that it is nourished, then it is going to be fruitful. Today, I want to encourage you to see how things, the spiritual nutrition, is going in your life. Are you starving or are you feasting? because God wants you feasting. It is very essential that if you and I are going to be well nourished, that we have got to abide in Jesus Christ. We've got to remain. The branch has got to remain attached to the vine. It's got to. It's the connection to the soil where the nutrition comes from. It is the nourishment that takes place. And because of that, the plant is nourished and it is able to be fruitful. So abiding is very fruitful. The scripture also says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I've always thought it very interesting when people are in prison that they try and dictate the terms and they say, well, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go on a hunger fast. And they begin to deliberately starve themselves with the hopes of trying to get something that they want, even though they are they're incarcerated, they're imprisoned, and they say, I'm going to deprive myself of nutrition until I get what I want. And do you realize that people do that in the spiritual sense on a regular basis? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And when you and I do not partake of the Word of God, I hope the Word of God is part of your daily devotions. I hope that the Word of God is being preached in your church because it is a source of spiritual food for us. It needs to be Jesus that is preached. And if you want to turn over, we're going to be looking in John chapter 6 this morning. John chapter 6, about this concept of nourishment. And what I was trying to say is that people deprive themselves. They all of a sudden, they get like David did at one time when his friend Uriah he reached out and touched Uzzah. Uzzah reached out and touched the Ark of the Covenant, and God killed him. And David said, well, I'm never bringing the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. And so he sent the Ark over to a guy's house by the name of Obed-Edom. And 3 months later, they send a message to David and said, the house of Obed-Edom is getting, you know, if you'll allow me to use a modern term, their socks are being blessed off. I mean, they are being blessed abundantly, coming in and going out. And David at that point in time finally got over his being mad at God. And he said, well, wait a minute. Let's see if he's being blessed, even though Uzzah reached out and touched the ark and killed him. Let's look and see what we did wrong. And it was at that point in time that David realized that he had been trying to transport the ark the same way the Philistines had transported the ark, instead of upon the shoulders of the Levites, the way that God had commanded the Ark of the Covenant to be transported. And so David began to set in motion, and he said, you know what? I'm not going to be mad at God anymore. I'm going to go. I'm going to do it God's way. I'm going to bring the presence of God into my city. I'm going to bring the presence of God into this community. And the journey became such a great journey that every six steps that there was a sacrifice that was made. Every few feet, David was saying, let's just praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. And so David longed for the house of God, or for the presence of God, to be in his city. In John chapter 6, we read that in verse number 32, then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Gives life to the world. Jesus had told them up in verse number 26, he said, most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." And there Jesus describes to them, first of all, that people were only looking for him because they were having their immediate needs met. And praise God that he's the need-meeting God. Praise God that he's concerned about our finances. He's concerned about our physical needs. He is concerned about our relationships. He's concerned about our health. But he is looking for a people who will taste and see that the Lord is good, that it is the Lord who brings nourishment, that it is the Lord who brings healing to our bodies. And Jesus says, you need to work for food that is going to endure to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you. Jesus is the source of your nourishment and my nourishment. So I just encourage you, if you've been on an exile, if you've banished God from your life, if you've been hurt in a church, and let me tell you, I've been hurt in churches before, but don't make it a terminal pain. I've got lots of people who've inflicted wounds on me, but you know what? Jesus is the healer. Jesus is the healer, and I don't want to cut off that source of nourishment from my life because I will die. And today I want to encourage you, if you've not been in fellowship in a local church, I want to invite you to come to Merit Assembly of God. We have our vintage service at 11 a.m. on Wednesdays. If you like hymns and praying for people's needs, we have that. We also have our weekend worship services this coming Sunday morning. December the 14th, we will be preaching the word. We will be believing for people's needs to be met. God said that in Malachi chapter 3, because he is so intent on nourishing, he said, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Why? Because he wants there to be meat in his house. He wants there to be meat in his house. Let me take you back to verse number 35. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. Jesus here in John chapter 6 said that he was the bread of life. In John chapter 4, he said to the woman that if you would ask of me, I would give you living water, and you would never thirst again. You see, nourishment and nutrition, it involves hydration as well as the proper nutrients and the calories and the food intake and the food composition that we need. See, God understands that what we need is a healthy spirit to manifest a healthy body. In John chapter 3, verse number 2, it says, I wish above all else, brethren, that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And I want to declare to you today that one of the reasons that the enemy is so intent on depriving us of fellowship in the house of God and depriving us of the Word of God, which is bountifully available here in America, is because he knows that we will spiritually starve if we cut ourselves off from fellowship with the Word of God. Jesus wants you well nourished. Do you realize that he took care of millions of people in the wilderness without a Publix, without a McDonald's, without a restaurant of any kind? He provided food for them for 40 years supernaturally. When Jesus was in the wilderness and was tempted for 40 days, he was there seeking the face of God, and it was a time of physical weakness in his life, and the enemy thought that he would be able to tempt Jesus and successfully. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It finally got to the point where it said the devil left him looking for a more opportune time. You see, and then what happened was an angel came and ministered to him. An angel ministered to him in the wilderness, an angel ministered to him in the Garden of Gethsemane. Moses and Elijah were sent to minister to him on the Mount of Transfiguration. I want you to know today that the God who took care of the children of Israel in the wilderness, that the God who took care of David in the wilderness and Elijah in the wilderness and Jesus in the wilderness, he's the same God who is going to provide everything we need for nourishment throughout all of eternity. If he's the same to yesterday, today, and forever, which Hebrews 13:8 says that he is, and I believe that he is, if he says, I am the bread of life, not I was the bread of not life, not I will be the bread of life, he has the ability for you and I to come to him and believe, say, God, would you nourish me? Would you nourish me in my spirit? Nourish me in my soul? Nourish me in my mind, my will, my emotions? Heal the hurts. Provide the nutrition that I need. So physically, provide everything. God is your source of nourishment today. There's another scripture that says, open your mouth and I will fill it. That doesn't mean that we do not study as preachers. It doesn't mean that we don't prepare ourselves for what we are going to speak. But instead, what it means, it's a picture to a baby bird in the nest. And the way that those birds received their nutrition was their loving parent would come and bring the food to them. And they would open their mouths and the parent would provide that nutrition that they needed. I don't know where you're at today. I don't know how long it's been since you've been to the house of God. I don't know how your devotional life is. I don't know how long it's been since you opened up the Word, which is alive, it is quick and powerful, and sat down to a spiritual feast. But today I want to encourage you to open it up and let God nourish you. Several years ago, there was a man in my church, and I'd preach Sunday morning, and he was going to lead worship that Sunday night for us. And before he led worship, he took out a napkin, he put it into his shirt, he grabbed a fork, and he grabbed a knife, and he started the service off with this saying. He said, this morning we had such a tremendous spiritual feast that tonight I came prepared to eat some more. And I want you to know that God wants you not just existing, he wants you nourished to health. Father, right now I want to thank you that you are the God who supernaturally gathers. You bring in a supernatural harvest. And Lord, I pray today that if any have been looking for nourishment in the world and its philosophies, I pray today that our eyes would be open to the realization that you are the God who brings us strength. You are the God who nourishes us. God, may everyone today make the choice to feast on you and your word. In Jesus' name, we'll see you tomorrow here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you without adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And
I so long to sing you the song.